Okay, thank you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا كريم يا رب العالمين. اللهم نسأل لك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا والشفاء لكل داء. آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we have some individuals that are here today in person. That's good. I haven't seen Sister Aisha and of course Brother Johanna Sam last week here. May Allah bless you guys for being here. And we have some obviously people online. So alhamdulillah, as you guys mentioned from last week, we're going over the signs of the Day of Judgment. Last week it was kind of a shortened class. I was a little bit sick during the week, so I wasn't able to prepare as much. So today we'll go over a lot. But I did have an issue when I was preparing this morning. My file that I worked on all last night didn't come up on my computer this morning for some reason. So that hasn't happened to me in a very long time. But I was able to still kind of get that information. But you'll see some of the slides are missing a lot of information. But I will name that, inshallah ta'ala. So just from a little bit from last week, before we go on here, there you go. Last week we kind of talked about, today we're going to talk about the minor signs of the Day of Judgment. So last week we said that the scholars broke up the signs of the Day of Judgment into two main categories. You have major and minor. And some even put in three categories, major, medium, if you will, and a minor one, if you will. And so when we talk about minor, the one we're going to talk about are those signs that are already came and passed, signs that are happening right now or trending, and signs that are one-time deals, if you will, that hasn't came yet. Okay, we're going to, thus be the third category, which we're not going to get to today. Today is going to be more of the trending things, if you will. And all of you are going to participate. I'm going to ask you, what do you think about this sign? Do you think it's happened already? You think it's ongoing? It hasn't happened, etc. All right. And so that's what we're going to go over. And there's just a little note. When we talk about the signs of the Day of Judgment, there are so many of them. And there's so many hadith on them. And the problem is when we talk about this, is that, and I have to kind of go over a little bit about hadith classification, is that some hadith are very weak. And so those I'm not going to be talking about. And those you get, there's a lot of those out there. But we're talking, inshallah ta'ala, at least my intention is, those that are authentic, we call it sahih or that they're acceptable, and then those are the ones that we're going to be pulling for. And a lot of books you'll see there's over 100 or so plus signs, and so you could talk about a lot of them. And a lot of them I'm not going to go over because they're quite, you know, understood, you know, and they're kind of prevalent already. But we'll go over some of that I believe that are more beneficial for us to go over. First one is that there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the appearance of false prophets. So the Prophet said the last hour would not come until there would be a rise around 30 imposters. Imposters meaning false prophets. Liars, each one of them who claim that he or she is a messenger of Allah. And so my first couple of slides is where I lost my notes. So they're missing some information here. So the Prophet said at least 30. And there's different scholars up there, I think Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and different scholars, they try to list the 30, if you will. And there's another hadith that says that there's going to be 30 imposters, and the last one is going to be the one who has the one-eyed liar, meaning the Dajjal. And we're going to get to who the Dajjal is in probably about 2 weeks from now or so, if you will. And maybe we'll allude to it next week, I believe. So that's the last of the false prophets, if you will. And the Dajjal is one of the biggest ones of them, if you will. So does anyone of you guys know of somebody? Now, when we talk about, before I ask this question, sorry, let me go back. Is that somebody right now goes on YouTube and says, you know, I'm a prophet. That's not probably what the Prophet was talking about. Anyone can say that. We're talking about people that actually claim to be it and actually had a following, had an impact, if you will. There's tons of people online, even today, you can look, I'm a prophet, and this person's a prophet. And I think I was even talking to the Mormon church the other day, and they're telling me that there's prophets around us right now. I was like, okay, I didn't want to debate with them. But anyhow, just trying to understand what their beliefs are in terms of what a prophet is. So, and one thing, there's another hadith that mentions that, and it's not the one I put up here on the screen, that the Prophet said there'll be 30 liars, and I'm the last of prophets, and there'll be no prophet to come after me. Which we all know that is the standard, you know, orthodox belief of a Muslim, right? So does anyone have heard in the past of anyone who claimed to be a prophet and actually had a legit following? The Ahmadiyya, very good. Mirza Ghulam Ahmed al-Qadiani from India, claimed to be he started off in different levels. Claimed to be a prophet, then went on to claim to be that he is actually Isa, alayhi salam, Jesus, that came back. And then he went on to other stages, and we all know that he ended up dying without really having any truth to what he had said. Unfortunately, there is still a lot of people who follow, they call it the Ahmadiyya, or the Qadianis, people that still follow that sect. And I'll say all due respect that they're not a recognized sect or group of Muslims. We won't call them Muslims. If they believe that he is a prophet, then sorry, you're off the, you're not in the category of being labeled a Muslim. The thing is, though, with the Qadianis and the Ahmadiyya, or whatever name you want to use for them, they have a bunch of different groups underneath them. Some that only believe that he was a prophet, or some believe that he was just a righteous person. Other people believe different things. So, but in the majority, the belief that he was a prophet, and if you're under that belief, then you're not considered a Muslim itself. But he's the one that won the claim to be a prophet. And will be one of the liars. Anyone else heard of someone else? You're going online. I'll start back from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. Right when he was passing away, there was a couple people that claimed to be a prophet, and actually right after he passed away. So you have this person named Musaylama. We call him Musaylama al-Kadhab, or Ibn Kadhab, the son of a liar. He claimed to be a prophet. He had a following. And Abu Bakr, when he came out, the next Khalifa, he had to fight him, right? And he ended up, killing him. There was a lady called Sajah. She claimed to be a prophet. And she actually ended up marrying Musaylama, which is two people that claim to be prophets marrying each other. So quite interesting. But then she actually returned back to Islam, right? And there's a bunch of other people out there, Al-Aswad, Al-Ansi, and there's some other people, Tuleha. After the death of the Prophet, like also claimed to be a prophet. You have also, there's a person, I'm forgetting his name, but basically the founder of the leader of the Baha'i movement in Iran. His name is, I'm forgetting his name, but he claimed to be a prophet also. And then you have the Nation of Islam here in America. There was a person named Elijah Muhammad, who also became claimed to be a prophet. Course had a pretty big following. Malcolm X was part of that. Of course, alhamdulillah, he saw the Orthodox Islam and left. So you have a multiple of ones out there, if you will. There's a person in Sudan also in the 80s, I believe, that claimed to be a prophet. He had a following. And so there's a bunch of different ones out there. So has 30 come already? Are we on 19? Are we on 25? Very hard to say, but there are some scholars try to list them. But the Prophet ﷺ did say the last one would be the Dajjal, the main false Messiah, if you are Antichrist, that will come if you. So that's something just to look at. So don't be surprised if other people try to claim it and actually have a following. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ did talk about that. The second one that's kind of good to note about, that's interesting, that we could talk about. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Muslims will fight the Turks. Al-Atraq, we say in Arabic. Where the Prophet said, the hour will not be established until you fight with the Turks. People with small eyes, red face, flat noses. The face will look like shields coated with leather. The hour will not be established until you fight with people whose shoes are made from hair. Now, the one thing about all these hadiths we're about to go over, they're cryptic in nature. What does cryptic mean? They're kind of like metaphoric. They're not really exactly that. The group is going to be called this, and they're going to be this country. Because if the Prophet ﷺ would say, for example, they're from Mongolia, we would understand that. But the Sahaba would be like, what's Mongolia? There's no place called Mongolia. Or they're going to be from a country called Turkey. They'd be like, what? This Constantinople, that was called at that time, was a Roman Empire at that time. There's no name called Turkey at that time. So here the Prophet ﷺ doesn't go into like certain names because, number one, it won't make sense to the Sahaba. And the idea for this hadith is not to be exact blunt with it, so we understand the general picture of it, if you will. So here, what is meant by the Turks? So there's a famous, what do you think anyone means, we might think that the Prophet was talking about? Who could know? There's one individual that terrorized a lot of the world, especially the Muslim world. You might not think he's Turkish. Genghis Khan, right? From Mongolia, which is kind of related to the Turkish ethnicity. Turks, when we're talking about Turkey today, that's not really like Turkish, Turks, if you will. You know, we go back to the ancestry of them, they all come from like, you know, what's going on in Western China, Turkmenistan, right? And so Turkmenistan and also Mongolia, they're all kind of like that same kind of area of people. They do have small eyes and, you know, flat faces, etc. And we know Genghis Khan came with this Mongolian empire that ruled pretty much like from Mongolia all the way down to Arabian Peninsula. And they killed tons and tons of Muslims, unfortunately. You know the history. They burnt the books in Baghdad. This guy was really crazy. He took the skulls of the Muslims and built a pyramid with them. It was this, you know, blood was flowing in the river, in the Euphrates River, as they say, you know, in the history books. What's really interesting is that he becomes Muslim at the end, or at least this army becomes Muslim finally at the end, a bit ironic when you see the power of Islam. But so a lot of scholars say, look at this hadith and say, we must be talking about Genghis Khan. Some other scholars said, well, this could be talking about the Ottoman Empire, because the Ottomans, even though they're Muslims, but they did fight the Arabs and took over a lot of the Arab lands. That's how you got the Ottoman Empire, even though they're Muslims. But that also happened. You have the Seljuk Empire, you have the Ottoman Empire, the Osmani Empire, etc. You have to go to the history books to kind of find out what exactly happened. Okay. Interesting. What's it called? History Disrupted? Destiny Disrupted. Okay. So the scholars look at this hadith and said, did this happen already or not happen? And they said, some believe that it's already happened already, right? We wouldn't think, Allahu A'lam, that the country of Turkey right now would come and fight. Of course, the Prophet was talking to the Arabs at that time, right? The Muslims at that time. We wouldn't think that would happen, some type of civil war. If it does, then guess what the scholars will say at that time? Ah, look, this hadith. So it's always kind of changing, right? Depends. The scholars can only talk about these hadith in terms of what they knew from history and what they're dealing with in reality. But a lot of them say either the Ottoman Empire or the Turks at that time, or Genghis Khan when he came X amount of years ago, if you will. So we have this hadith here. The Prophet also talked there will be an increase in wars. I guess that's no surprise to anybody here. But the Prophet said that the world would not come to an end until a day would come to the people on which the murderer would not know as why he was killed. And the slain person, the murderer would know why he has killed. He don't know why he killed this person. And the person that was killed, the slain, would not know why he was killed. Why was he murdered for? It will be said, why would it happen, Ya Rasulullah? To which he replied, it will be because of the general massacre and bloodshed. And the slaughtering and the slain would be in the fire. Both of them will be in the fire. The people will kill so much, they won't even know why they're being killed. I would ask you, do you think this sign is ongoing, already happened, or still to come? What would you say? It's still happening? So, Saisha, what do you think? Has that already happened? How about the nuclear bomb on Hiroshima in Japan? Somebody just cooking in their house, all of a sudden they get killed. They have no idea why they were killed. They weren't fighting anybody. The murderer probably knows it, the one who dropped that bomb, because he got the orders to do so, right? These really bad, you know, mass murders here in America. We're the only country, unfortunately, in the world that actually has these same things that happen on a frequent basis. But you have the people getting shot either at schools, at a studying, no idea why they got shot. They don't even know the murderer. And the person shooting probably doesn't know why he shot that person, right? So you could say that could fall into this, if you will. You know, you could say it's greater than the mass murders we're seeing here. Some people say, well, look at all the wars and different things here and there, and wars still to come. World War I, II, if you will. Who knows, number three is coming or not, right? This has definitely something that's kind of still going on, trending, unfortunately, if you will. But the Prophet said this will continue to happen until the world verse comes to an end. Here I don't have a hadith on this. We've kind of lost some of our material. But this is from the hadith. I took the 40 hadith with me in that class. The second hadith went over. The Prophet ﷺ was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, who came in a form of a person. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ, what are the signs of the Day of Judgment? And the Prophet said the sign of the Day of Judgment will be that the servant woman will give birth to her master. It's kind of like, whoa, it kind of like messes, make your head smoke a little bit, trying to understand what that means. That the woman will give birth to a son, that son will grow up and end up owning her as property, almost like as a servant, as a slave, if you will. You're like, what does that even mean? Well, some people said that it's because of so many different wars back in those days, women will get taken, right? And lineage will be all kind of screwed up. Was actually the mother of this person and that person, etc. And so what happened that a man could be end up buying or owning after a war the mother of his own mother and not even know it. Because either the kids get separated in wars, etc., and they end up fighting each other. And this might what happened. So a lot of people said this happens because of a lot of wars that happened. Maybe it already happened already. Some scholars have looked at this hadith and said that it's actually talking about the disrespect of children to parents. So they took it in that metaphoric way, if you will, that the women will actually have to take orders from their own children. The children will boss them around. You could say that's maybe America in general, unfortunately. Or that happened a lot, many times, where sometimes you go to people's houses and you don't know who's the parent or who's running the house or not. You see the mom and dad there, but the children are bossing the parents around. And subhanAllah, it's a flipped upside world. So the scholars kind of talked about this and exactly what that actually means. Another one is that the Prophet said, and like I said, I didn't have the hadith and wasn't able to put it up. The Prophet said that there will be women that will be clothed but appeared undressed. I think we all understand what this means. And this is, I'll ask you, is this happening now? Even more. And I think it's getting worse and worse and worse, right? Is that the women would be dressed, but the body is very much showing, if you will, because of the tightness of the clothes or the being see-through in terms of the material itself, etc. But the Prophet talked about this. And remember, the Prophet talking to the Arabs and the Sahaba during his time, they're probably scratching their head like, what are you talking about? Even how bad backwards the society was during the time of the Prophet, there's still a bit of dignity in, you know, women in terms of respect and the way that they would dress, etc. Maybe they weren't wearing hijab and stuff. Non-Muslim women weren't. But still, like, you have protection of yourself. You'll cover yourself properly, even in that society. And if you really look at hadith like this, even if you go back to maybe some of your generation or if your parents' generation, let's say early 1900s, this would be very far-fetched in society. Do you ever see like old movies, Western movies? I'm not promoting you to watch movies, but if pictures, if you will, you know, House on the Prairie or whatever, those Western movies, the women had bonnets on their head, even the American women here in this country, non-Muslims, right? They wear a bonnet on their head. You won't see their hair, right? Or at least you'll see their neck and so forth. And they had long skirts. I was in a hospital in a waiting room walking around. They have pictures of all the nurses from, like, I don't know, all the hospital staff from so many years. I think back in the 60s, all the nurses were in skirts. And they had the little bonnet on the head, etc. That's what they wore. That was like a standard, way that women would dress, you know? And so this we're talking about here has only changed. I would argue only changed in the last, like 60, 100 years, probably. Or even last 60 probably years. Before that, people would look at this and say, what are you talking about? Like this, you know, women dressing like that, you mean like in their house or outside? No, we're talking about outside. This is how things change really, really quick. And now we're really seeing this. The Sahaba probably scratched in their head, what's this hadith about? But we're seeing that this is happening, and like I was saying, I think it's unfortunately becoming worse and worse and worse, unfortunately. But the Prophet ﷺ talked about that and mentioned that. The Prophet ﷺ also in the hadith in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi that we covered, one of the things that Jibril asked him were the signs of the Day of Judgment. One way that he answered it, what does the destitute shepherds, the barefooted shepherds, will be competing in building tall buildings. And another hadith, someone asked the Prophet, who are these people? He said, the Arabs. And if you look at the Saudi family, for example, are these, especially all in the Khalij, the Arab Peninsula, Bahrain and Dubai and Abu Dhabi, 100 years ago, these people were on camels living in nomadic tents until oil was under their feet, and then things changed rapidly. But they weren't building anything like 100 years ago. Nothing, like two-story houses was amazing at that time, or maybe a two-story hut or something. But now we see the Burj Khalifa, which you guys all know, Dubai, what the tallest building in the world. In Jeddah, they're competing to build another tower that's going to be higher than the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. I think you guys have ever been to Mecca recently or seen pictures of it. There's this enormous, uncalled for clock tower that overtowers the Kaaba and everything. It's nice. You can see the time from 5 miles away. You can see what time it is. But I don't know if you need that. But you have this massive clock tower right in front of the Kaaba, which morphs makes the Kaaba look so small, and maybe that's, they shouldn't have built it. But anyhow, I understand they need rooms for people to stay, but you have this going on. And all these different countries in these Arab countries are Riyadh, they also had in Saudi Arabia, they also have a big building they're building. And in Malaysia, they have one of the tallest buildings in Kuala Lumpur. But here, they believe the sign was that they're talking about the Arab Peninsula. So for us here, when we see this hadith, when the Sahaba saw this hadith, they probably have no idea what they're talking about. Are you guys talking about a tent on top of a tent? Is that what they mean by this? But here, we are seeing it in our age that we're nodding our head. We're like, wow, this is what the Prophet actually talked about. This sign is only making sense to us in the last, maybe 60 years or so. Not 40, et cetera, right? And who knows if this is going to just keep on increasing. I would assume it will keep on increasing. That one other country is going to do out another country, et cetera, that they will do this competition, if you will. So this is something the Prophet talked about, and we see it's happening. Whether the world's coming to end pretty soon or not, that's another question. Making alcoholic drinks permissible, or the abundance of alcoholic drinks in society. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that people among my nation will drink wine, calling it by another name. Oh, no, that's not wine. It's some other type of drink. It's a healthy drink for you. And musical instruments will be played for them, and singing girls will sing to them. Allah will cause the earth to swallow them up and will turn them into monkeys and pigs. That's a very severe hadith. So the number one, the point that we really want to talk to it, even though the monkey and pigs might get your attention. But the point I want to talk about this hadith is the Prophet is talking about that people, the Prophet is talking about Muslims. The people among my nation. Not talking about the non-Muslims. That's what the scary part is. That they will make drinking halal. And I could ask you guys, do you think that is going on in the Muslim countries these days? You can find it in some countries, believe me. Muslim countries, under the table, different things. But is it to the extent where it's up to this extent here? Maybe not, maybe yes. Who knows exactly how much more does it have to be prevalent in society? But you definitely can't go to Saudi Arabia or Egypt and walk around and just go and they're selling alcohol in the streets. You have to go to very specific places to know, because there's Christians that live in these, especially in Egypt and so forth. But you can't just find it anywhere. I know I lived there 7 years, 6 years. I couldn't. Not like I was looking for it, but anyhow, that came out really weird. But I definitely didn't see it anywhere. You had to kind of know where to go. That's from at least what the teachers and so on told me. But another hadith of Prophet said, it is from the conditions of the last hour, the knowledge will be taken away. That's another point here that we could take. Ignorance will prevail. Makes sense. Liquor would be drunk, and adultery would become rampant. Now, this is also a little, these are extra signs that are built under this one slide here. But here it says liquor will be drunk, meaning that it'll be very prevalent. During the time of the Prophet, there was liquor, but it wasn't like as like we have now, where there's like specific bars, right, that are out there, and they just have that out there. People just go there, not to eat, but you just go there to drink. And that is very prevalent here in our society. European countries, unfortunately, are a specialist in this, where that is part of their nature, part of their culture is drinking. Irish, for example, unfortunately, German, have a lot of thing called Oktoberfest. I even see some signs here where it's all about just alcohol. And it's very prevalent. So I can ask you, do you think this sign is pretty much happening already? Do I? Oh, gosh. Oh, such a lousy. I cannot believe that. That is shocking. I know here at the Pomona Fairplex, I probably shouldn't tell you the location, but anyhow, they have that here. But anyhow, go ahead. So that is, I know that was going to get everyone's attention, so I was going to take that out because, but it is, and this is also in the Quran. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that people were turned into monkeys and pigs because of the sins and different things that they were done. Now, how do we understand that? Now, this is more like a really off topic from what we're talking about today. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do anything, obviously, right? And turn people into certain things. It's not reincarnation or anything like that. But because of their sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have took them and made them into these animals. How? Right immediately, etc.? That's something, honestly, I never really looked up. And I had a feeling someone was going to ask me about this, but I'll have to research that for you to get back to that, Sister Aisha. But that is definitely interesting. But Allah does mention that in the Quran, and another part about certain people, that Allah did that to them also. But anyhow, yeah, I'll have to get back to you, see if I could answer that for you. So you could tell me, do you think this is happening today? Do you think it's going to get worse? Nobody really wants to say about that, right? Maybe it could get worse than what we're seeing today. Maybe the alcohol, the limit for drinking, I think is 21 in this country. Maybe they move it down. And we're like, whoa, now the signs are becoming even more, if you will. Maybe it's going to start being available in schools. Who knows? And in all these different places. Allahu Alam, how worse things could get. And the Prophet did also mention about adultery here, which I don't have a separate slide on it. But that actually goes back when we talk about women's dress also. That adultery will become rampant, right? That fornication, adultery, etc. will be something that will be very widespread. But during the time of the Prophet, that was something that wasn't even, it was known, but it wasn't widespread. And there's a famous thing that if you look, go back to our Sirah class, when people took the oath with the Prophet, one of the things the Prophet said, that of course, you only worship Allah, one thing is that you do not commit fornication. And it was mentioned that some women said, what are you talking about? Who would do that? Even the non-Muslims at that time. Like, why would someone even think about doing something like that, right? But today, this is unfortunately like part of society. There's a statistic which is very troubling, but like, it's even mentioned that amongst Muslims, that I think the percentage was like 45%, if not somewhere around there, almost half of Muslim youth are already engaged in some type of relationship before marriage. You know, this time on Muslims, non-Muslims, it's a standard, I think, that you have relationships way before you get married, unfortunately. So this is something that is definitely rampant here in America and probably the world in general. I mean, Allahu Alam, exactly where, but definitely here in America. So we're definitely seeing that, which probably wasn't seen too much in the previous generations. Decorating of Masajid. The Prophet said the last hour will not come until people compete with one another in building masjids. You think the signs come? Mm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Yeah. Right. Right. Right, right. Yes. Yeah. This is part of it. Yeah, that's good. We want mustard to be nice, right? We want our houses to be nice. There's always like a step that maybe we're doing too much. So 1.5 million on a chandelier. We could, I don't know about you guys, but I would think that's a lie. And that's what happened. First, the Prophet I'm trying to say, and there's other hadith that's related to this, is do not be like the Christians and Jews that decorated their places of worship. And that became the default of what the building is about. Not necessarily prayer. You go today in some, with all due respect, some churches. It's very well, there's like one here on OC, you can see it right off the 22. It's massive. You think it's a castle, it looks like it. And you know, but you go inside and you might see a grand piano and organs and this and that. And people kind of forget why they're in that building. I'm not saying that building itself, but in general, right? So the Prophet said that time will come when people are building masjids just to build it. And there won't be people inside there worshiping. It will just be a really nice structure. You know, it's almost like the Blue Mosque and other things. From my last understanding, I could be totally wrong. Of course, the Blue Mosque was a masjid always, but I think even now it's just a tourist thing. I don't think you're allowed to pray in there. In talking about assembly, at least I'm trying to remember when I went, they didn't let us pray in there. It was more just you could tour it. They do have it. Maybe it was the Hagia Sophia. I'm not sure. I don't know if the Hagia Sophia, they changed it now. Oh yeah, okay. You could pray in both of them, right? Okay, mashallah. Right, but sometimes you see these big structures. This might happen in the Gulf countries, where you could be out in the desert and you see this large masjid, but there's no community there. But it's just someone just wanted to build it, just maybe because, you know, inshallah, they have good intentions. When I pass away, some people pray in it. But it's not necessary how well decorated it is. You know, you build it, you make it nice. You know, we all could agree, want it nice. But in terms of, you know, gold and, you know, nice, beautiful things here and there. Main purpose is for people to pray in this. So the Prophet was talking about there, the time will come when people start doing this. And you could say that we're almost there, we're there, you know, it could get even worse to an extent. But anyhow. Remember, a lot of this could be people's zakat money sometimes for the masjid. So people are just using their money, zakat money, should be going for helping people out poor and needy, but going in for, like, you know, amazing carpet and tile in the bathroom and et cetera, which you probably don't need. Decorating houses. The Prophet said the final hour will not come until people build houses which are like colored garments. It's just so amazing. Like a garment, like, you know, has embroidery everywhere. But their house will be like that. So many different colors and different nice features to it that this will be the case. And you might say, like, well, that's California. That's all our houses to an extent. You have to understand, the Prophet was talking to a bunch of Arabs at that time that lives in a very plain house. I don't think there was any, probably it was just whatever the color of the wood or the leaves were, right? So when the Prophet talked to the Sahaba about this sign, they're probably saying, what are you talking about? Why would they waste money on making, you know, painting your tree branches like this, if you will? Wouldn't you use your money elsewhere? For us, we're like, well, granite tops and nice tile, right, Victor? Is what people want, right? That's what people would pay a lot of money for. And then what happened, people would spend so much in these type of things, and that ends up, and I think I don't want to say we're all guilty, but say that's very much a very SoCal, maybe American trend, if you will, is to, of course, everyone lives in a nice place, and people don't like this conversation, I know, but you know, there's always like an overdoing of it, okay? You don't need to tile something out if there's no reason for it, that, you know, it's broken or etc., right? But of course, you want to look good, you spend a lot of time in your house. But anyhow, we'll take the hadith. And definitely it wasn't going on during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when they later on, we see that this is becoming more rampant. People have mansions and all these different things and decorating so much and spend so much money on it, we could just say that this is definitely happening, not going to continue happening. Obesity shall be widespread. Now, I know you don't like this slide either. I know that. I mean, I don't, that's why I wear a thobe, so you can't tell where the belly starts or where it ends. You know, that's why it's one of, that's why you wear these clothes. But anyhow, so the Prophet ﷺ talked about, and this is a hadith, has a lot of things in it, right? But the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of my people is a generation which I have been sent, the Sahaba. This is a different topic, I know. I wanted to put the whole hadith there so I'm not, you guys understand the whole thing. Then immediately the ones after that, call that the Tabi'een. And immediately the ones that come after that, call it Tabi'een, the three generations. Allah knows best whether he mentioned the third or not. The narrator is saying we didn't know if he mentioned the third or not. After them, there will be people. So the Prophet predicted. He's not saying this is a sign of the Day of Judgment, but the scholars put these hadith in the list of the Day of Judgment, signs of the Day of Judgment, because saying that this is happening later on. Also, that there will be people who will be giving testimony without being asked. You didn't even see this crime. What are you saying you're testifying for, that this person is innocent? That's a whole other sign. They will make vows which they do not fulfill. We could all say that's probably been going on for a very long time. There'll be treacherous, and not be trusted. You see that's been going on. But the last one is one I want you to focus on. Among whom fatness will appear, obesity will appear. Now, all of us here, we're Americans, we're like, that's part of the culture. You have a buffet. You know, we're probably, we have a buffet where you can eat all you want. I remember I was trying to explain to my teacher in Egypt what a buffet was. He said, you could go back anytime, how many times you want. I said, yeah. He said, why would they do that for? I said, well, I don't know. That's norm. You just go, you pay a buffet. You can stay there for multiple hours. I think they'll probably kick you out after maybe 3 hours or 4 hours. Yeah, or Korean barbecue, right? Everyone likes this Korean barbecue stuff. Brother John said they even have that during Hajj. Yes, that's true. And I remember I went to a place in Egypt, this is a little more side note, and it's at a buffet. It was a Sbarro, you know, Sbarro is like a, I think it's an American company or Italian or something or whatever. So, but anyway, that halal pepperoni, I was like, wow, I never had that before. Let me go ahead and they had a buffet, like this is a salad bar. You can go and have the buffet, the salad bar. I'm like, okay, I got it, whatever. The guy's like, oh, you only go one time. I'm like, what do you mean? That's not a buffet. He's like, no, you go one time. Whatever you feel, that's it. I was like, no, this is not how the Americans do it. We go back 6-7 plates, and then, you know, alhamdulillah, that's how we roll, right? But here, the subhanAllah, remember this, the Prophet ﷺ is talking to the Sahaba about this. These are people, even the Prophet himself, that didn't eat meat for multiple months, that the hadith mentioned. And what? They rode horses and they walked like places. You know what I mean? Today you go outside here, go down Brookers, rarely you'll see people on the sidewalk. When I went to Egypt, the sidewalk is filled. And because why? A lot of people don't have cars, there's a lot of mass transportation. Maybe India, Pakistan, same thing. You know? I remember we didn't have a car in Egypt. Oh my God, I lost so much weight. I had a third story apartment on the third story, no elevator. I had to walk 50 minutes to go to a grocery store. I come back with 6 bags in my hand and go up 4 flights of steps. One thing about Egypt, they don't tell you the ground floor is not called one. It's called the ground floor. One starts on top of that one. So suddenly I was on the 4th floor and I didn't realize that. But go up there and by the time you get to your door, you're like drenched already and sweat. But subhanAllah, so much people walk, etc. Right? And I'm not saying there's not overweight people in Egypt or India or Pakistan or any other places. But here, the Prophet was talking to the Sahaba, which really, I mean, there probably was a handful of people that had a belly or were overweight. These people were fighting jihad, riding horses, you know, traveling to Syria and Yemen and working in the palm groves, right? So here, they're probably thinking, oh, what is, how would there be so much food that people could eat? Today, we're saying that this is very much the norm, if you will. So for the Prophet to predict that during his time, it'd be pretty amazing for the Sahaba to sit there and like, are you sure? For us, we're saying, oh, this has been going on for a long time, if you will. It was very interesting. I want to put that because that was something that, you know, that his generation will not really understand, even the generation after that. Only kings would have this much food to eat, if you will. Nothing. The Prophet just listing different ones. Yeah, sorry. He's just listing. I just put the whole hadith there because the part I wanted, that's why I underlined it. That's actually what the part I wanted to talk about. But I didn't want to just put one sentence on the screen when you guys know the whole hadith, etc. But anyhow. Right. Writing will become widespread. Now for us, once again, we're like, duh, right? That doesn't seem very amazing. But remember, once again, put yourself back into 640 CE, you know, during the time of the Prophet. As one scholar, you know, Sheikh Yasir Qadi was mentioning that, he recorded this number, that he said during the time of the Prophet in Mecca, there was probably 12 that knew how to write and read in the whole society, of maybe 2,000 people. Like, that was really rare. And we even saw that those who took the Sirah class, after the Battle of Badr, the Prophet did what? He said he got the captives and said, you have to teach 10 people how to write and read, and then we'll let you free. That's how important it was. So the Prophet says, Zuhur al-Qalam, that the appearance of writing will become widespread. That, once again, always put yourself back during his time, the Prophet. For him to tell the Sahaba that, it's like outrageous. Like, how are people going to write? How are people going to learn to do this? It'll be so widespread. Today, we have a lot of writing, right? Everyone writes. Everyone posts. Everyone texts, etc. Right? Might not know how to spell really well, but alhamdulillah, we have autocorrect, right? But it is definitely wise. You have countless of books. People write books all the time. But one thing is, though, I paired it with this hadith on the bottom here, where the Prophet said, it is from the conditions of the last hour that knowledge will be taken away and ignorance will prevail. How do we understand these two hadith here? Tell me how I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Exactly this. Yeah. That's true. You see, so you have so much writing. A lot of this book could be just nonsense. And also, when you have so much information thrown at you, like when you pick up your phone, look at your messages, you don't even know where to start, or your Facebook feed, or etc. You have so many people reposting things that ends up people actually become dumber, actually, because you don't know what's right. And anyone could post anything. You could write right now, I think, you know, this is haram and this is halal. I mean, hopefully people don't do that, but we all know people do stuff like this. Or the vaccination will, you know, it will cause this happen to you. Or put your money in this stock, and you know what, watch, it's going to blow up and it's going to be great for you. And people would believe it. People would do it, you know. They think if you have enough influence, if you will. That's why you have YouTubers, you have influencers. Who are these people? Some people behind the computer in the bedroom, and people are believing them. They think they're the best cook or they're the best whatever. And that's where they're influencing people, right? So here, yes, so knowledge will be taken away, and of course, ignorance will prevail. A lot of scholars looked at this hadith and they said what it also means is that scholars, Islamic knowledge will be taken away, and of course, that would mean that ignorance will prevail. People won't know where to go for answers for the religion. And I'll ask you, do you think we're at that time where scholars have been taken away and ignorance is prevailing? What do you think, Victor? Not yet? So Aisha, you think we're there? I think it's very hard sometimes to find scholars. I mean, you know, if you want to get an answer, a lot of our masajid here in Southern California don't even have an imam, proper imam, or proper someone's religious authority to give them direction, if you will. Sure. Go ahead. I think you. I thought he went louder, but I guess he didn't want it louder, but anyway. Okay, alhamdulillah. Right? So here we have this also, how we understand this. And like I said, during the time of the Prophet, this was something that was amazing. The writing will continue. Next hadith that we have, next minor sign that we have. Oh, well, so there was a comment here. Leah's in Malaysia has the most obese people in Asia, about 50% of the adult population. Brother Johan, is that a diabetes? SubhanAllah, what's going on in Malaysia? Love sweets. I think most, I mean, Desi culture like sweets too. I don't know. Well, Desis have a lot of diabetes, that's true. Oh, yeah, you're Thai and everything. Yeah, so final line. Yeah, it's definitely a Muslim country, so some majority populated country, I should say. Hadith number 12, or sign number 12 that I want to go over. The increase of the population of women. Okay, I'm going to make sure I didn't support me. There you go. So the Prophet said men will decrease in number, signs of the Day of Judgment, the signs of the end of the world, while women will increase so much that 50 women will only be one man to look after. Doesn't mean that it's a husband of, he has 50 wives, that's not what I'm talking about. The one man of that family will have to look after daughters, wife, an aunt, nieces, etc. Right? Who knows, it could be, you know, the neighborhood, you know, people in the neighborhood, etc. That those men, one man have to look over this much amount of women, to take care of them, protect them, provide for them, if you will. I want to ask you, do you think we're there yet? Probably not. I don't think this is happening yet, right? Not at all. If you look at the population of men and women right now in the world, or the United States, I believe it's very close to 49, 48, whatever, point something. Almost a balance. I think there's a little bit more women than there is men in the United States. So what is this talking about? How is this going to be possible? Anyone know how this will be possible? Good. Yep. Exactly. A great point, Brother John. That's what the scholar said, because there'll be so much more war. We already went over that hadith already, right? And killing, and usually it's the men that get to go out there, the lucky ones, right? So really the men that get to go out there, there's women also participate also. And so you have a lot of dads, you have a lot of uncles, you have a lot of brothers, husbands that get killed and are martyred, or either way, and you have now women that need to be taken care of. So maybe we're not there yet. I mean, obviously it won't be very tough later on. Later on, we're going to see, we talk about a couple of weeks from now or down the road, talk about a thing called the Malhama in Arabic, which is kind of like Armageddon, the big war that's going to happen, where the Prophet said that out of every 1,000 people that participate, 999 will die. Because that war will be so massive, you know, that, and I would assume the majority of that will be probably men, if you will. If that's the case, there'll be a lot of women that need to be taken care of and protected, and women can protect themselves, don't get me wrong. But oh, seriously? Okay, yeah, I think I heard about that, yes. The COVID? Interesting. Oh, interesting. SubhanAllah. Better to be a woman in these times, I guess, right? Anyhow. All right, so this is something the Prophet predicted. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. So this could be actually in the category, the third category I said, where we're talking about signs that just haven't happened yet. But I put it here because I should have put it in the third category. Next one, increase in Quran reciters and decrease in scholars. This is something very interesting to think about. The Prophet said in a hadith in Hakim, which is verified to be authentic, that there will come a time where there will be an increase in Quran reciters and a decrease in scholars, and knowledge will be taken away. Right? And today, sometimes you'll see that, you know, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful reciter. Everyone loves beautiful reciters. I love beautiful reciters also. Don't get me wrong. Right? And people want people to memorize Quran, and alhamdulillah, I want my son to memorize Quran, I want my daughter to memorize it, and that's good. But sometimes we focus just on the recitation, but not necessarily what's being recited. So we have a lot of, even, you might say this might be true today, we have a lot of people that recite really well. But if you ask us, someone said, well, I did this in my prayer, what am I supposed to do? Oh, I don't know, I just recite really well. I don't know, tell me any verse in the Quran, I'll recite it for you right now, any surah, or I could do very nice to you. But what the ruling of the religion is, and what is this, or what does this verse mean in this tafsir? I just recited this verse. Is that talking about Prophet so-and-so? That Prophet? I don't know. But I can recite really well. So here we kind of, I always say that we're seeing that definitely there in our time. We have a lot of people that can recite really well, but to know exactly what they're reciting and why that, what verse came down, what surah that from, and what's the context, I would say that's very few people that could do that. You know? And so that's what the Prophet said, that the time that we come, maybe we're in that time, or maybe it has still yet to come, if you will. It would increase even more, if you will. Time will pass quickly. Okay. I think we all could say that probably happening now. The Prophet said, time will pass rapidly. Good deeds will decrease. There's going to be killing and war and so forth. The miserliness will be thrown. Miserliness will be thrown in the hearts of people. People are very, don't want to give. They don't want to donate. And haraj will increase. They ask, what is haraj? Prophet said, killing, murdering, killing. We're going to see a lot of this. Hadith and Bukhari. So here we want to talk about the first part of this. All the rest we kind of went over a little bit to extent. Where, what do you mean that time will pass quickly? So some of the scholars said that there'll be no barakah in people's time. Because back in the day, the scholars would get up in the morning, the Prophet said that Allah put barakah in bukurihim, that in their mornings. It's a hadith of the Prophet that our ummah will have blessings in their mornings. Get up for Fajr, don't go back to sleep, just start your day. You get so much done by the time 12 o'clock comes around, 11 o'clock, and those who ever run that schedule before, know you get so much more done. And by 12 o'clock, you're like, I could rest the rest of the day. I did so much, if you will, right? So some say there won't be no more blessings in people's time. Or number two, they say the communication will connect people together faster, and transportation. So time will decrease, meaning that when you used to have to ride a camel to get to, or horse to get to whatever, Salt Lake City or whatever, Nevada or San Francisco, now you're going to fly 45 minutes, you're there. So time much more quicker, if you will. Time's still the same, but you're getting there doing quicker. Or some scholars say the third, number three, is that the earth itself will spin faster. That, I mean, I don't know if it could possibly happen, definitely, the magnetic poles and so forth. But the day becomes shorter, right? So that could be the literal meaning of that hadith there. One thing we'll know, one of the major signs of the Day of Judgment, we're going to come later on, is that the sun will rise in the west. Right now, it rises in the east, which means that the earth will have to do a retro spin, right? At least that's one way that they could do it, that we'll have to spin other way. So the earth will have to change its course, slow down, and then go back, if you will, this way. And that's where one way the sun could rise from the west. If that happens, I don't know, there'll be a lot of things that happen that would be an issue with that. But anyhow, one thing the Bossman did talk about, that time will definitely go faster. Could say that we're in that time now, or if that's going to happen even later. I think that's there. That's what I had for today. I'm finished still with 10 minutes early. There's a lot of other ones out there. Like I mentioned, we talk about miserliness in this, if you will. People will be more miserly, if you will, and so forth. We talked about adultery. We talked about other things. But those things out there, I think we're saying it's very common in society. We say people are always miser. They were always, stingy since, I don't know, a very long time. But maybe that would increase, etc. But this is a lot, like I said, some of the signs that I wanted to cover. Like I mentioned, some of the lists go on to like 100 different signs. Some of them, like I said, are very common. So these are the ones I wanted to highlight. So what we'll do, inshallah ta'ala, we will, next week, we'll talk about some of the signs that have not happened already, that still haven't happened, that the Prophet talked about is a minor sign, but still hasn't occurred yet. Okay. One of those big signs, and we'll probably start it next week, is the appearance of Imam Mahdi, or the guided leader of the Muslims, that will resurge the Muslims back up to a way of dignity and power and supremacy, and defend against a lot of the oppression that they're going through. And there's a lot of hadith and a lot of sayings about who the Imam Mahdi is. And that will lead into the major signs. And the first thing, the first major sign we'll go over, which we'll probably go over from 2 weeks from now, and that would be the Dajjal, the Antichrist. And when he comes, and the Mahdi and the Antichrist, they will be facing each other, and we'll talk about what's going to happen there. So some of the minor signs I wanted to go over. I don't know if anyone had any questions from any of these ones we went over. I wanted to expand on it. I know Sister actually asked that question about the monkeys and the pigs. I'll have to go over that. But in terms of any of the information else that we went over, inshallah ta'ala, We will continue on to the ones that have not happened yet next Sunday, inshallah. Questions or comments? I was thinking 4, but it's probably going to be 6 sessions. It's a lot shorter than other ones because you'll see. I don't know. I always say it, and it always increases. I said 4, I think, last week. So I'm thinking about 6 now, inshallah. Then my plan is to move on after this, is going into what happens to when we die and the life in the grave, and then continue on to the day of judgment, and then continue on to the description of Jannah and Jahannam, and kind of give you like the whole hereafter type of flavor, if you will, go over all these different aspects. All right. Any other questions, comments, anyone? No? Definitely, that is one of the major signs of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, coming back. We'll talk about what the hadith on about him and what he's going to do. And also, we will do a comparison of what the Christians believe. I'm not a scholar in Christianity, but at least what they have wrote and what they have said, they have this thing called the rapture and their belief of, and then what they believe by that and what's going to happen, and then what we have. And some of them are very similar, honestly. But the main part is where the difference is. They have a whole nother reason why he's coming back. We have a whole nother reason. But some of the similarities are there of actually what he's going to be doing, going to do, etc. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, after these 6 sessions, and then inshallah we'll go over that. Yeah, life in the grave and stuff. All right. If there's no, go ahead. I don't know, is it? Okay, I don't know if the last week one was, but okay. So yeah, you can see the one from last week. Last week was a short one. But anyhow. I think so, yeah. Okay, yeah, so this one's recorded, so they'll do that, inshallah. Alrighty, so if anything else, we'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, to forgive us for our wrongdoings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to protect us from some of the signs of the Day of Judgment, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, to keep our faith strong, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to bless our brothers and sisters throughout the world that are suffering or under oppression. Give them victory and protect them, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu alayhi wa sallim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Barakallahu fikum, may Allah bless you guys. We'll see you guys next Sunday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't think I see any questions online, so I think we're good.